I hear a theme song coming on.
In 2020, everyone is staying home. They're making a podcast and hoping it will last to save them from boredom. A chance to flex all the rest of that creative juice. You hear that? You hear that? I think this podcast can really last.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Second Golden Age of Radio. My name is Richard Templeman, and with me on the pod, on the cast, this day, whether it be morning or evening, whenever you're listening to this, is my good friend, Connor. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, Richard.
Tell us about yourself. Tell us about any experience you've had with old-time radio previous to this podcast.
Let's see. My experience with old-time radio? I was actually in a musical in high school called 1940s Radio Hour. The entire play took place during the recording of an old-time radio show. So I got to be like the stagehand and interact with all the characters. It was a really random, unique, weird, fun show.
That sounds brilliant and funny. Just because of having it set at that time would be an interesting story indeed. Which means you actually are somewhat familiar with the Golden Age of Radio because of that play. So that's cool. What kind of old-time radio did they portray in it? Was it mystery? Was it probably not comedy? I don't know. Well, yeah, what was the genre of that?
That one was all music. So everyone, they sang different songs. But then the play was about all of the relationships between, the actors and actresses that were on the radio show. Yeah, and the thing that I did like that I thought was that carried over to the radio show that we just listened to was all the commercials. We in our play we had commercials for Chiquita Banana and Pepsi Cola and all this stuff that isn't really advertised nowadays, but back then definitely was.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty neat. That's pretty on point genre wise. Yeah, there have been even, now that you mentioned musical aspects, there were radio shows that were musicals as well, which I enjoy. But yeah, the commercials, the old-timey commercials are fun.
The only other thing I thought would be interesting as you were talking is the fact that people used to just sit and listen to the radio at night. That was their weeknight activity. And I'm wondering what people did. Did they just sit and stare at the wall? Did they lay on the ground and stare at the ceiling? Because they weren't obviously talking to each other if that was the family activity. When you're watching television, everyone's looking at the same spot, but where do you look when you're listening to radio?
Very interesting. I know a lot of people just lied on the ground in front of the radio. Some people looked at the radio. Some people did sit on the couch and just kind of lean back and kind of relax. You could close your eyes, which is kind of cool. It really opens up your imagination when you close your eyes. So yeah, definitely different. There's not one focal point at all. You could be staring off in a million different directions and all listening to the same program. Great insight. Great imagination you have there, too.
All right. I'm ready for this.
So we decided to listen to the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater, indeed. And let me tell you a few tidbits about that show. And then We can get started. Interestingly enough, the CBS Radio Mystery Theater is a drama series that was created by Heman Brown. It was actually broadcast on CBS, obviously, from 1974 to 1982. So way after the scope of the Golden Age of Radio, which usually is considered to be the 1930s to about 1962. So this was a good decade past old-time radio, but it was still early for us before we were born. However, I'm sure it was a callback to the Golden Age of Radio that they wanted to revisit those old stories and have new stories that were in that old format. So good on them. They apparently aired on NPR in the early 2000s as well. So they're great. The format was similar to the old-time radio shows like The Mysterious Traveler, The Whistler. And they were introduced by a host who provided the wisdom and commentary throughout. His name was E.G. Marshall. You can totally tell because when you listen to CBS Radio Mystery Theater, it goes, "Hi, I'm E.G. Marshall." Unlike hosts in the earlier days of radio, Marshall is fully mortal. He's not a mysterious weirdo or ghost or, like, spirit. He is someone who just heightens the insight and brings the listener into the world of the macabre. And he's kind of similar to the Man in Black on the show Suspense, which we've covered on this program as well. So the creator, Heman Brown, previously created Inner Sanctum Mysteries, which were in the golden age of radio. So similarly with it, when CBS Radio Mystery Theater opened and closed, it had the ominous sounds of a creaking door and the narrator talking about the show, what was to come, like saying, "Come in, welcome, I'm E.G. Marshall, and this is what we're going to talk about." It was broadcast each weeknight at first with a new program each night. Later in the run, three or four episodes were new, and then they mixed them with old ones. There were 1,399 original episodes. The total number of broadcasts, including the repeats, though, were 2,969. Wow. So an hour-long show with commercials and newscasts in between, so the program itself is about 45 minutes. Interesting. When repeats of the show were broadcast in the early 2000s, Heman Brown re-recorded E.G. Marshall's original host segments. So the creator of the show became the narrator. Nice, nice, nice.
That's fascinating. I didn't realize.
Yeah. It's very interesting. All very interesting. I like that you reacted. I feel like that was a good overview. Basically, it follows the format of radio shows that have a, like, mysterious, spooky, kooky story, supernatural, and then it sometimes ends with a twist. So we're listening to an episode entitled CBS Radio Mystery Theater, episode 22, Time and Time Again, and then we could talk about it.
This is WOR in New York. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the fear you can hear. Welcome to the sounds of suspense. It was the ill-fated Prince of Denmark, Hamlet, who lamented, "The time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right." Many people before and since have echoed the same cry of despair, but none with more compelling justice and reason than Ethan Vigil, clock maker and destroyer. Ethan Vigil, for whom a special clock struck a magic and an evil hour.
You got your box in. Your move, Jake.
No, don't rush me. I'm thinking. God in heaven, Ethan, how can you stand that infernal racket?
What racket? Oh, you mean the clock striking? I don't even notice it anymore. Well, go ahead. What do you want to give up?
No. Who can think of a chess move with all hell breaking loose? From now on, start our games after midnight. Not to drive a man stark, staring mad. I swear to Sam Hill, Ethan, you deliver.
The only two living things left in the room at that terrifying moment, as time stood still, for myself and that damnable machine.
Our mystery drama, Time and Again, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars John Beale. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll return shortly with Act One.
Okay. So my first reaction is, I was hoping with the title, Time and Time Again, it would be something like this, like someone freezing time or maybe a Groundhog's Day story. These are ideas I was thinking of. And then it did what I expected, where time freezing was a part of it. Then it did something I did not expect, where it's almost a demon clock thing, and it kills someone else to give you extra time. So that's creepy.
Yeah, totally agree. When I was listening to it, I was just like, oh, like what? Like I found myself just like I'm interested in the clock. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they were playing chess, time stopped. I thought it was going to go more into like what he was doing with the extra hours and kind of, you know, if he went down, like if he became mad or went insane because he just had all this extra time with his life. Yeah, then the whole like murder angle of the clock killing people and being like this demented thing, really was a cool twist.
Yeah. When I realized that it like ran off blood and then, you know, had a heart inside of it, I was like, okay, I see what's going on. It's like a living being inside this clock. And once it like bit somebody or cut someone, I was like, oh, so that's how it runs off blood because it has a heart. But then when people started dying because of it, I was like, okay, weird. Yeah, you would think that they would have gone more in a direction of what to do with the extra hours. Very Twilight Zone, like really original concept to have it be a horror item. And I believe the first person to pass away was, oh, some relative of his that was very sickly and needed care. I forgot. Because there was Harriet, was the wife or something. And then I forget the name. Do you remember?
Yeah. Harriet, I think, was his wife's sister who owned the business with him. And then his wife was the one who died first. And then her sister was like poisoning the avocado tree. And he and her like hated each other. So yeah, there was a lot of dynamics between like the two women in the story were both, that like, there was, well, the feud between him and his wife's sister, that I thought would get developed more, or that like he would, did he end up using the clock? I'm trying to remember now. Did he end up using the clock to kill her?
Yeah, once he found out that she was poisoning his avocados and she was just a vile woman, he basically used the clock on her. And he said, even though she deserves it. I still feel guilty. Oh, I feel so guilty. But knowing that she dies and then I'll get rid of this treacherous clock machine, that will be fine. I'll have to live with myself. So I believe that's how the whole story wrapped up, is he was kind of obsessed with having time to do the things he needed. He got the weird clock with the 13 hand or the 13 numbers that gives you an extra hour. And then someone he cares about more accidentally dies. And then someone he doesn't like on purpose dies. And I think that was all the elements.
Yeah, one thing that I don't think they had discussed very much or didn't go back to was the original guy who gave him the clock, who brought it in and was like, hey, like, I have this like random clock, I'm trying to sell it, and he sold it for like $20. Like, oh, what's up with that guy? I want to know more about him. Like, where did he get this clock? Did he know what it was? Was he like trying to like pawn this off on some, you know, schmuck, and like, or was he like the devil that was, you know, this was his craft and he was using it to like, you know, make other people's lives miserable? Like, I just, yeah, I wanted a little bit more about him.
Yeah, already you're thinking of ideas that are like thoughtful ideas and questions. Yeah, if he knew about the demon quality of the clock, did he on purpose sell it for that reason? Or did he never use it? And someone else had used it before. We'll never know, but I like the idea that he was just the devil and he created a devil clock. I like that.
So question, if you had free hour every day or twice a day, what would you do with it?
I guess I'd have to edit more podcasts or something, or video projects or something like that. Something that I usually have to do by myself anyway. So if time could just be frozen, that would be ideal. Then I could work on more individualized projects.
It's a very practical answer. I like that.
Why, thank you, sir. So I almost don't know what to do to modernize it, because it's not necessarily anything that was time specific. Other than it was like some sort of antique hourglass-shaped clock thing. I don't know if we use a more current technology or what, or if we just change the story however we want to, but just follow that type of format.
Yeah, the only things I would think of, like, I know, like, just the interactions he had with, like, the doctor about his wife. He was just like, oh, you know, women, like, they complain, which, you know, obviously didn't age well. The interactions between those, like, between him and his wife, potentially, or just like the dynamics there could be more, reflect better now. The timepiece itself, instead of it being like this old clock, yeah, it could be like, I don't know, like a phone or a watch or just like something that's a little bit more technologically advanced.
I dig all that. So I think it's time. It's time. We brainstormed a little and now it's time to just improvise. What do you say?
I say it's been too long since I've been able to do improv. So let's do this.
Yay. All right. Maybe I'll... Oh yeah, I think I can start.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Well, it's time once again for you to enter my home so I can tell you a creepy story. A creepy story that has a lesson. I want each and every one of you to know that I've lived a long life and seen many a character run in and out it, always searching for the fastest way to do something, the easiest way that they can get their tasks complete. Whether it be with their Fitbit and their multitasking apps while they're working or going to school. Well, there's one such gentleman that was not well to do, so he went to a pawn shop and looked in their technology center of the pawn shop, and he saw a most unusual electronic device. Here, we'll go to the pawn shop now and you'll be introduced to Sammy, the guy who just wanted to get everything done quickly.
Well, pardon me there, are you still open?
We were just about to close, but I suppose if you have any last-minute inquiries, now would be the time I could help with.
Well, I just wanted to come in and check and see if you had anything that could, you know, help a guy plan better, you know? I need to make sure that I don't miss any of my appointments. My wife's really nagging on me when I keep forgetting things, and, oh man, our anniversary was yesterday, and I just plumb forgot.
Well, I would suggest you buy her some jewelry here in this case, but as far as your organizational skills go, well, we did get this kind of weird item from Japan, I think, and someone pawned it off to us the other day, and do you see what it is here? It's kind of a sort of necklace that you wear around your neck. But it has a calendar, it has voice recognition, and it tells you what the best road is for you to go in your car or by foot. Really, it just tells you the most efficient way to plan your day. You just have a session with it in the morning or the night, and it can really change your life. I mean, these Japanese scientists have really put a lot into this little necklace of a thing. And it's only $200, which I'd say is a steal of a deal to change your life.
And also, you should buy a ring or a bracelet, diamond for your wife. You're kind of mean.
That's exactly what I felt. I felt like I was mean, and I want to make it up to her. All right. Both the jewelry and that creepy, cool, awesome necklace. Oh, well, sir, you've done a real service for me. I just wish there was something I could do for you.
Well, besides paying me the 200 for the device and the 100 for the jewelry, which is, like I said, a really good deal, what you could do for me is to just make yourself better and be a better person, no matter the sacrifice.
those are some wise words there. Nothing ominous about that.
Now you go on your way. I don't want you to disappoint your wife any further. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Well, thank you. Goodbye.
Sammy? Sammy, is that you? Where have you been? Sammy, I hope you weren't dinking around, going from place to place with no direction in your life. Sammy, what's going on?
Margaret, honey, I've got some great news. First is, well, I wanted to give you this gift to show how much you mean to me. It's this necklace. Well, no, it's not this. It's the jewelry. The necklace is for me. That's the second gift. The gift I'm giving you is, this is for me to make myself a better person. So I'm gonna be more organized, honey, and I'm gonna make more time for you.
Oh, and you think that can be accomplished with a silly necklace? Although I do like the jewelry you've gotten me. This is beautiful. This is great. Honey, that surprise. It surprises me that you've even gotten me any gifts. It's been so long, but this necklace that you're wearing, I don't believe it has any organizational powers at all.
Oh no, it definitely does. The man I bought it from assured me that why it can tell you what to do, it tells you where you are, it'll tell you your schedule, it helps you remember things. This is exactly the kind of thing I've needed, honey.
Well, I believe it when I see it, Sammy. No. I have a headache. I'm going to bed early, and you figure out your own life. Like I've said, if you are taking some direction that's better than you were before, much better than you were before.
At last, I'm out here in the woods by myself, just getting some me time with just me and this necklace. See if I can figure out how to make this work. Necklace, are you there?
I am here, Sammy. Please tell me how I can help you, Sammy.
Well, Necklace, I didn't tell you what my name was.
When you were talking earlier with Margaret, I picked up your name and Margaret's name.
So, Necklace, you're always listening? I'm sorry, I keep calling you Necklace. What would you like me to call you?
I would like you to call me Lucy. My name and designation are Lucy.
And Lucy, you're going to tell me all the things I'm going to need to remember, right? And just, you know, where I need to go, what I need to accomplish.
Whatever your goal, that needs to be accomplished. Lucy will be there for you. What task would you like to complete today?
Well, Lucy, I got some succulents for myself. I wanted to prove that I could raise something and keep it alive. Well, gall darn it, those succulents are dying, and I need to remember to keep them alive. Can you do that? Can you help me keep these succulents alive?
Yes. Lucy will help you keep your succulents living. You must do exactly what I say.
Okay, I'm ready.
Put your hand onto my face screen. If you put your hand on Lucy's face screen, and then give the succulents
2 teaspoons of water. That will be a good start.
All right. I've covered you. I've watered my succulents and... Oh. Lucy, I don't understand. They're withering up right in front of me.
It did no true good to have succulents live while you are so slow. I have transferred their energy to you.
I felt something weird. Did you just say that you transferred? No. Lucy, did you kill those succulents?
I gave their life force over to the master, Sammy. Sammy needed the energy more than succulents needed the energy. You will now go faster and obtain your goals 20 times faster than you would have without their energy.
Holy Lucy! I haven't felt this much alive since... since before Margaret. I've got to go tell her the news.
Yes, I will be here when you need me again.
So, Margaret, it's good to see you again. Tell me, how are you and Sammy doing?
Oh, Sydney. Sydney, it's so good to see you. It's been weird. Sammy, he has more energy now than he's ever had, and he's running circles around me. I'm just exhausted, but it's because he got this new device that's a scheduler, and... Oh, it's just... It's exhausting for me. He has more energy now than before we were married, and... Oof. I just don't know. I guess he's less forgetful now.
Margaret, you make it sound like... Make it sound like a bad thing. It sounds like... This sounds wonderful news. He's like younger than he used to be?
Yeah, he acts as if he's basically a teenager. I guess it's good. The only thing is, I just think he's changing. Maybe... If he's reverted back to that time and place, then maybe he'll change into somebody I don't even know anymore. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you lean into it a bit. Like, you know, maybe you two should go on vacation together or plan something with him. If he's got so much energy now, like, take advantage of it.
Oh, I guess you're right, Sydney. I guess you're right. We should take some time for us to get to reacquaint each other with each other. All right, I'll see if that works.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and cross the street now because I've been waiting on the corner for too long.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay, thank you.
It was lovely to see you. See you at book club on Tuesday.
Uh-huh. All right, thank you, Sydney. Have a good one. See you at book club.
Margaret, you're never going to guess what I did today.
Oh, dear. What did you do today?
I took an architecture class online, and I drew up blueprints for a brand new house I'm going to build us.
Oh, dear. Sammy, that sounds wonderful. It's just, I'm exhausted thinking about building a new house for us.
Well, no, you won't have to do anything at all. See, that's the best thing. Lucy's going to tell me exactly how to do it. I'm going to do it all by myself.
It just sounds like... You and Lucy are in a relationship now. I just... being left behind. In fact, I was talking to one of my gal pals today, and... Well, she suggested that maybe we take some time for ourselves. Let's go on a cruise or a vacation to the Alps or something.
A vacation, honey? That sounds like a great idea. That's the perfect kind of thing that Lucy can help us with.
I don't know, Sammy. You have less hours in the day if you are taking a break and vacationing with Margaret.
Oh, Margaret, honey, it seems that, seems that Lucy doesn't think that's such a good idea.
Have Lucy help with the vacation. Have Lucy stop us from going on vacation. You just can't run your life by a machine. Here, let me have it.
What are you doing?
You sound so creepy. I'm just trying to take this necklace from you.
Margaret, no! This necklace is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Are you kidding? What do you mean? That's impossible. Transferring energy now. Transferring energy from Margaret to Sammy.
Margaret, what have you done?
What have I done? I don't know. I'm starting to get so tired and... oh, just can't seem to stop. I can't seem to... oh.
You upset her, honey. You upset Lucy.
There was wasted energy in Margaret. It deserves to be transferred to Sammy.
Yes. Energy. She didn't need it. She was just gonna sleep around and be lazy. No, this is... I can use this. I can be better. I can build this house. I can go on vacation. I didn't need her. I just need you, Lucy.
I will always be there for you, Sammy. You do not need Margaret. You do not need succulents. All you need is Lucy. I will plan your days and make you most effective with the highest possible energy levels you have ever seen. Together, we will be unstoppable.
Well, I told you if you came into my house and I told you a little bedtime story that you'd be sufficiently creeped out. Did it work? Well, all I can say is in my travels, Sammy might have been the most eager of the beavers that I've met. Yeah, he did go on to improve himself, but at what cost? The cost of everyone and everything he cared about in his life, or did he only really care about himself anyway? At any rate, he's better off finding joy in servicing Lucy. Oh, I thought Lucy was the servant. Well, now we know the truth. Good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Yes! Yay! I thought that was fun.
That was so fun and so silly.
Yes, we really were able to capture the almost science fiction-y fantasy elements of the story and made it comical in just by us being us. It was fun. That was funny. So thank you for joining us, Connor. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners as a goodbye message?
Your devices are always listening.
Truer words were never spoken by man or machine. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Second Golden Age of Radio. Goodbye for now. Thank you, Connor.
Thanks, Richard. Bye.
All right, we did it. And I probably should be doing other things too. But thank you again for real, Connor. It was a pleasure. A joy and a pleasure to improvise with you over this medium.